Now take a moment right where you're at and just reflect for a little bit of the reality that there are people all around the world like you and me that may speak different languages, may have different cultures, and live in different climates and are part of a different economic status than you and me. But we're all together around the world celebrating the birth of the greatest man, the greatest leader who has ever lived, bar none. That we're all over around the world, we're gathering together to remember the movement that he started 2,000 years ago when he was born. Now, Jesus wasn't just a great leader. He was, in all reality, the complete rebel leader. Jesus was a radical. He was a disruptor from the time that he was born all the way to the time that he left. And the changes that he made and the challenges that he gave still reverberate loudly into our 21st century and around the world. Sometimes we don't really take the time to really think about how radical Jesus was, how drastically opposing were his views and his life, the way that he lived, as he challenged the norms of the intellectual and the religious and the political elite of his day. In fact, it's only in a world turned upside down that there could have ever been sanctioned such an unprecedented, such a revolutionary announcement that by the purposeful choice of God Almighty, that the King of all kings, the King who came to save kings, would be born in obscurity and in poverty in a manger, even to the point of being born right under the nose of the imperial regime of the Imperator Caesar Divini Filius Augustus. That's just a fancy title that was given to the Roman emperor, the unconquerable, majestic, divine son of Caesar. And not only that, but Jesus was born right under the nose of that Roman emperor's client king of Israel, a guy named Herod, who they called Great. Think about the irony. A king greater than Herod, a king more majestic than Augustus, which literally means majestic, was born in humble means. He laid his head for the first time in this world in a well-used, open, long trough used to feed animals. And it was all done by choice. Now, after 2,000 years of romanticizing that event, we tend to think of the nativity of Jesus as cute and quaint and admirable. But for somebody of great stature and of royalty and of greatness to be born the way that Jesus was born would have been absolutely scandalous to the aristocracy of Rome, to the philosophers of Greece, to the religious elite of Israel. It would have been totally, totally different and totally radical. In fact, some of the things that Jesus did that were so radical back then, we take it now as for granted and as things that are just kind of self-evident because of Jesus' influence into our culture. For instance, back in 1776, Thomas Jefferson famously wrote in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Now, that may have been self-evident or seemed to be self-evident to Thomas Jefferson and to the founding fathers, and it may seem self-evident to you, but it wasn't always that way. In fact, it wasn't at all until Jesus came along. Jesus blew out of the water any notion that people were greater than other people because of the language they spoke, the color of their skin, the culture that they came from, and all of these things. In fact, Scripture says that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. That wasn't a founding father's idea. That was a Jesus idea. And today we often take for granted how amazing our first responders and healthcare workers are. And they are. They're amazing. But oftentimes we think and believe that people throughout history have always cared for the sick or the impoverished or the weak or the indigent. Not so. Not until Jesus Christ came on the scene. It was Jesus and his radical movement that gave dignity to the sick and to the poor and to the weak. In fact, Most communities would totally get rid of those who are weak and those who are sick, because that would have been a drain on their community. But Jesus came and gave dignity. And so he started a whole legacy of caring for the sick and the poor and the needy. In fact, 200 years after Jesus was born and lived and died and rose from the dead, there was a great and awful plague in the Roman Empire. It was just decimating the whole empire. In fact, there were like 5,000 people dying every single day in the city of Rome alone. But in the city of Alexandria, where this plague started, there was a group of people who were radicals. They were rebellious, if you will, to the norms of society that day. Because during those times, when there was a plague, people would run out of the city in order to save their own lives. But these radicals, these rebels who were just like Jesus, went in and took care of the poor and took care of the sick. And those who were ill, they raised back to health. And those who raised back to health, some of them ended up dying. And they did it because they did it out of their own choice, because of the radical love of Jesus Christ in their lives and the radical hope of eternal life that these followers of Jesus had. They were, in essence, the first responders, all because of Jesus' influence. In 369 AD, there was an incredibly godly man by the name of Basil who just had the heart of Christ for those who are sick and indigent, and he started what would become history's first hospital. Again, all because of the radical love that Jesus Christ gave to those who were sick, those who were needy. In 1956, the famed psychologist Carl Rogers was given credit for coming up with this incredible concept of unconditional positive regard. It was the idea of giving a client unconditional acceptance by which the person seeking counsel could feel an absolute freedom and safety to be able to deal with their hardest issues in order to find healing and to find growth, which is a wonderful thing. But Carl Rogers didn't come up with that. 1,900 years plus before Carl Rogers, Jesus Christ already set the foundation of love and unconditional love and grace in order to change humanity, to bring reconciliation of man back to the God who made them, and wholeness in that relationship, and wholeness in the relationships with other people, and also spiritual and emotional healing as well. That came from Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus wasn't a rebel in the way that we think of a rebel. Maybe we think of James Dean or Marilyn Manson or Spartacus or William Wallace of Braveheart fame. But Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus didn't wield a sword or a gun or eyeliner or skinny jeans. But he was a rebel in the very definition of the word, because Jesus Christ absolutely opposed the destructive structures and philosophies of this world. In fact, his weapons that he used for his rebellion were so rebellious and so different. They're not the tools that we tend to think of that people use in a rebellion. The rebellious tools that Jesus Christ used was his unconditional love and his own life. Jesus Christ himself said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die but have eternal life." Maybe you've heard that before. But in that statement, you see that Jesus' weapon was love and his own life. And it's through that that we find and accept the incredible unconditional love of God. And not only that, we also have the promise of eternal life that radically changes our lives and has changed humanity for the last 2,000 years. But Jesus also took up the weapon of humility. That being God of the universe and creating all things, he humbled himself to become man. That's not an upgrade. That's a downgrade. But he did it because he loved us. And not only that, but he gave up his life for us. And he died a criminal's death on a cross. 2,000 years ago, when the Romans nailed a human being to wooden beams, they nailed the worst of humanity in their minds. Just trash, criminals, ugly, horrible people. And so for Jesus to choose to be willing to die that way, and for people to think that he was trash or he was a criminal, shows complete humility. The fact that he would do that if it means your salvation and mine. Jesus Christ also picked up the weapon of rebellion called service. Jesus Christ, again, the one who through whom all things were created, bent down and got into the dirt and the grime and washed his disciples' feet. And he said to them, go and do likewise. In essence, what he was saying was, get on your hands and knees and be an agent of cleansing in people's lives, even if it means getting into the junk and the muck, as Jesus Christ did in our own lives. And through that, we are healed, we are changed, and we are cleansed forever. But one thing about Jesus and being a rebel, a disruptor, a radical, being just like what we tend to think of those things, he does not just say to us, just be passive. But like all disruptors, he calls us to action. That he calls us to be people who would oppose hatred through using the use of the weapon of love. That we would oppose pride and take up the weapon of humility. That we would oppose laziness and complicity of just being passive when we see wrong things happening around us, but that people would take up the weapon of service and perseverance in order to care for and to love other people. That we would oppose broken relationships and divisiveness, and we would take up the rebellious weapon of forgiveness. And forgiveness, even if it means, you know, asking for forgiveness when we do wrong, or giving the olive branch when somebody may have hurt us, just as God did to us, as Scripture says. You know, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we would oppose racism, tribalism, nationalism, in the sense that would create all sorts of divisiveness around humanity. And we would pick up the weapon of equality. That we all truly are born and created in equality and by the image of God. My question is for you this evening is, are you going to stand there just as during this Christmas season, just kind of clap and say, well done, Jesus, good job, way to go, we think you're pretty awesome? Or are you going to join the rebellion and be a person who follows Christ into this world, using the weapons of Christ in order to effect change, to effect reconciliation, to effect changed lives where there's brokenness are healed and people are united? You see, we're going to sing a song here in a moment. It's called Emmanuel, which is an amazing and beautiful song. Emmanuel means God with us. And it's a wonderful song to remind us of the reality that God is with us. And the neat thing that our God is not some distant God, that he became man in flesh to walk amongst us. And not only that, but also to sacrifice his life for us. But here's the question I want to pose to you as we sing this song. It's true that God is with you and that God is with us. But let me ask you the question as you sing and listen to the song. Are you with God? Are you with him in your relationship with him? My encouragement to you, probably the best gift that you could ever give to yourself, is really the gift of coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And those of you who have already done so, I encourage you to come with God, to come into that relationship that you already have with him, and to say to him, they're going to join that rebellion with him. Would you contemplate that? Would you think about that as we worship and as we sing that song? But before we do you mind if I just pray over you? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you didn't just leave us alone, that you came to live amongst us, but not just to hang out with us, but to give your life for us, God. And so, Father, as we sing this song, I pray that you would just move in our heart to remind us that you truly are with us. But God, also, I just ask that through your Spirit that you would challenge us to move closer to you, that we would be with you, that we'd bend our knee to you, that we would say to you, we are in this rebellion with you, God. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.